Hey folks, can your IRA or 401k stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is right at our doorstep? By allocating a percentage of your retirement into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from a turbulent market and economic downturns. All you gotta do is put your IRA back on the gold standard. With a multi-trillion dollar trade deficit and ongoing geopolitical instability, experts say now is the time to make the switch. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Protect your retirement today with one simple phone call and receive your free gold and silver guide from my good friends at Genesis Gold. To do that, call Genesis Gold Group today at 800-200-GOLD. That's 800-200-GOLD. And find out how you can add precious metals to your IRA. One more time, let me give you the number. It's 800-200-4653. 800-200-4653 or gold, or visit them at genesisgoldgroup.com. Genesis Gold, welcome to the John Solomon Just the News family. Hello, America, and welcome to a new edition of John Solomon Reports, where today we're going to go do a deep dive on the Hunter Biden laptop. Joining us is the ultimate expert on the laptop, the great New York Post columnist, great journalist, Miranda Devine. She's going to talk about her new book and everything that it says, not only about Hunter Biden, because we know enough about Hunter Biden after all my reporting, her reporting, but what it says about the president himself. Was President Biden a secret beneficiary? Was he an enabler of the schemes that his son did to enrich himself on foreigners? How much are they compromised on China? We're going to get to all those questions. It's going to be a really fun discussion. And then we're going to take a little bit of a tutorial, a little bit of a lesson. Get your economics 101 on. Here we go. Christine McDonald's a fantastic columnist. She writes for all sorts of great publications, The Hill, The Wall Street Journal, The Detroit News. She had a fantastic column explaining recently how we got to the perfect storm of supply chain, everything from California laws that hurt independent truckers who can't now haul things from the ports, to the extra unemployment benefits that encourage people to stay home, to some of the inflationary policies of President Biden, and in some cases, right down to local localities like Los Angeles. And we're going to make some sense and help you best understand both how we got to the supply chain crisis and how we might get out of there with Christine McDaniel, who's a fantastic talent and a senior fellow at the Mercatus Institute. All right, before we do that, I always like to do a little bit of headlines, because every day now we have some really important news stories here in Washington at Just the News. The team here doing 24/7 work to keep you apprised of the most important things. And one of the things that when I look out at Joe Biden has had a really bad string of luck. Maybe it's not luck, really bad string of fate in the U.S. court system, the federal courts, appellate courts. Repeatedly losing cases on immigration, on COVID restrictions. And there's a common theme to them. And our brand new colleague here, Aaron Kliegman, joined us this week. He's a fantastic reporter, great investigative reporter. The common theme of Joe Biden's losses in the courts, which are mounting, and they're really significant losses. For instance, there's been a lot of TROs, temporary restraining orders, or temporary injunctions, as they're known, against the president. In order for that to happen, a judge has to conclude that at the end of the case, there is a strong possibility the Biden administration, Joe Biden, will lose. There have been a whole bunch of TROs, which means the courts are already signaling, from the moment you get in our court, we think you're wrong. That is a pretty extraordinary record in the courts. Not a one to brag about. Aaron Kliegman does a really great job today describing the string of losses and what's at it. And there's a common theme to them. Each time the Biden administration loses in courts, the reason is it overstepped its authority. The overreach of a big socialist government, big government, is the constant trigger for why courts at all levels in all parts of the country are ruling against President Biden on a daily basis. Biden legal defeats rapidly piling up across the nation. Great story by my colleague Aaron Kliegman. Check that out today. Now, on the energy front, we're going to have a great conversation coming up. We're actually going to move it till tomorrow so we could have enough time today with Miranda Devine. But tomorrow we're going to have the former Interior Secretary on in. We're going to talk about all the reasons why energy prices are going up for self-inflicted reasons. But today, Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer withdrew her federal lawsuit trying to stop construction of one of those oil pipelines in Michigan. Maybe an ounce of common sense, maybe not. Maybe she's retooling to go to state court, but a big moment there. It's important to realize that these attacks on oil and gas that the Democrats, whether at the state level, the national level, the federal level, are exacting, they're all contributing to a constraint on energy. And listen, I understand their good intentions about making clean air, clean water if possible, but there has to be a way to do it without destroying the economy, without taking a bite out of hardworking Americans' wallets right now. And there is some reckoning going on. Now, Democrats are beginning to feel the political consequences of their energy and climate policies because everyday Americans weren't considered as part of them. That's an important story. Mike Pence had a great interview with my good friend, David Brody, yesterday. The former vice president says he agrees there were irregularities in the 2020 election. I agree with that, too, because our reporting has shown it, right? And he feels, though, he made the right decision going ahead and certifying the results anyway. You got to look at that. The very nuanced argument that the former vice president is making. Check that out. Important story today. And while we're on that subject of election integrity, the head of the Wisconsin election probe, Justice Gableman, he is accusing two big city mayors, and you're going to recognize these guys, Green Bay and Madison, the mayors, of a cover-up and stonewalling into these election integrity issues. Why do Madison and Green Bay sound familiar to you? Well, we here at Just the News did all the work to show how those cities got money from, you ready? Yep, Mark Zuckerberg's group, the Center for Tech and Civic Life, money that went around the normal Federal Election Commission regulatory system. It went directly to the referees and judges of elections, something that I think a lot of Americans don't feel good about right now. Well, Justice Gableman yesterday had a hearing before the Wisconsin Assembly, and he laid it on the line and really raised some serious concerns that these two Democratic mayors and these two Democratic strongholds that took Mark Zuckerberg money to whip up votes in Democratic areas during the 2020 election, they may be trying to slow down his ability to get to the truth. Very important stuff there. All right, while we're at it, because we've got a lot of good things going on, one other important election integrity story I think you should take a look at. The Georgia Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, says he believes the Biden Justice Department is dragging its feet and trying to cover up their collusion. Oh my God, now the Democrats are being accused of collusion. Their collusion with outside liberal parties to sue over Georgia's voting rights laws. He wants transparency. He wants to know what DOJ was doing with people like Stacey Abrams and other voting rights activists. He sued the Justice Department saying, hey, fork over the information. You want to sue us on our state law? We want to know what you were doing on your side on the taxpayer's dime. Very important lawsuit. I have a funny feeling that is going to get a lot of attention in the next few weeks. Keep an eye on that. Very important stuff on that front as well. A lot of big headlines, a lot of good news, but nothing is going to compare to the conversation we're about to have right after the commercial break with our good friend, the great journalist, the great New York Post columnist, and now the author of an unbelievable book on Hunter Biden's laptop. Miranda Devine joins us right after this commercial break. Folks, Field of Greens is the healthiest thing I do every day, and I want you on this journey with me. Why? It's literally one scoop a day. It tastes great. I love the fruit flavors particularly, and it's completely improved my life and my health. This is nutrition the way nature intended. When I began taking a hard look at why I wasn't feeling good and why I felt unhealthy, why I was gaining weight, why I was losing energy, it wasn't just because I had hit my 50s. No, it was because I wasn't getting the right amount of fruit and vegetables in my diet. And listen, I'm just too busy to go to the store, clean up the vegetables, cook vegetable dinners, and make sure I hit the fruit. A Field of Greens stepped in. One scoop of powder in my drink or on my eggs in the morning, and boom, I was off and feeling better. And suddenly, I was losing weight. I was sleeping better. My metabolism went up. My blood sugar went down. My cholesterol went down, and my weight went down. And my doctor said, hey, whatever you're doing, keep it doing. You know what that is? It's Field of Greens. That's what I've been doing. Field of Greens is radically different. Each organic fruit and vegetable was medically chosen to support heart and vital organ health. I trust Field of Greens to keep me healthy. I promise you, you're going to love this product. But if for any reason you don't, they'll give you 100% money back guaranteed. Now, you're going to get 15% off your first order, plus free rush shipping because of the incredible partnership we have here at Just the News with Brick House Nutrition, and of course, Field of Greens. All you got to do to take advantage of this offer, visit fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JUSTNEWS. That's promo code JUSTNEWS at fieldofgreens.com. Don't wait. Go to fieldofgreens.com today. Use the promo code JUSTNEWS for 15% off. Folks, if you owe back taxes, fair warning, you're not going to like this. The IRS is mailing millions of pay up letters. Millions, I say. Then it's up to the 20,000 new IRS enforcement agents to find you. Why the IRS targets you and not millionaires? Well, because millionaires have tax lawyers. You don't. You'll pay up. Plus interest and penalties. You need Tax Network USA, and you need them now. Tax Network USA has brilliant war room strategies to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. Like a preferred direct line to the IRS, they know which agents to deal with and who to avoid. It's not all bad news for you because Tax Network USA learned of a special limited time IRS offer. They're willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. So schedule your free confidential consultation to see if you qualify for this limited time IRS penalty canceling offer. To do so, call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000 or visit tnusa.com/justnews. That's tnusa.com/justnews. All right, folks, welcome back from the commercial break. And this has been the moment all week I've been waiting to have on this podcast. One of my favorite journalists, one of the greatest writers, one of the greatest diggers in all of America today, Miranda Devine, the great columnist from the New York Post and the author of the book you must read this month, Laptop from Hell. We know what laptop we're talking about. That's right, Hunter Biden. Joining us right now is Miranda Devine. Miranda, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, John. It's fantastic. Such an honor to be on your podcast.
Well, it's an honor having you on. Your work on the laptop, the courage you showed to continue driving the reporting when others tried to censor it is historic in the annals of journalism. And you've done a lot of great for the public.
Coming from you. You are the past master at that. Honestly, your website, Just the News, is an absolute must read for me
and
everyone who's interested in finding out what's going on.
Well, thank you. We got a great team here, and we're growing, and I love it. It's I love coming to work every day, just like I'm sure you do. You do such great work. I love the subtitle on this because I think it summarizes better than anyone has today why we should care about Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden, big tech, and the dirty secrets of that the president tried to hide. This is really, at the end of the day, about Joe Biden. We know that Hunter Biden is a troubled, although very capable, shakedown artist. But in this instance here, you connect to the president, how the president tried to hide this from the American people. When you step back and you look at all that you assembled in this incredible book, what's the biggest message you want Americans to take away from this?
Well, I think that Joe Biden has lied to the American people throughout this, throughout his career. I mean, whether it's tall tales or just lies about his family's influence peddling scheme, which it really he's run it since his very early days as a 30-year-old senator back in Delaware. And he internationalized it when he became vice president. And during the campaign, he lied to the American people when he said that he knew nothing about his son Hunter's overseas business dealings, because we know from the laptop that he met Hunter's business partners from overseas multiple times. He met Mexicans and Ukrainians and Russians and Chinese and Kazakhstanis, and he met them in Beijing, and he met them in his own, he invited them to his own home, the vice presidential residence in Washington, D.C., the Naval Observatory. He met them at Cafe Milano and the garden room there at a dinner that Hunter organized for Ukrainians, Russians, and Kazakhstanis. And, you know, he met Tony Bobulinski, who was Hunter's business partner. He was Joe Biden was vetting him to become the CEO of this new joint venture with the Chinese. He met Tony Bobulinski twice in California. He invited Devin Archer, another of Hunter's business partners, into the White House and took a selfie with him, which was then posted on the website of Burisma, the Ukrainian energy company that was paying Hunter $83,000, $333 a month, and paying Devin Archer. And, you know, I think all you need to know about Burisma is that when Joe Biden stopped being vice president, Burisma cut Hunter Biden's salary in half.
Sure did. Yep. And he was complaining. He didn't have enough money to live on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he had a $36,000 alimony bill because his private life was in complete disarray. He was in the thrall of a crack addiction. He had pretty much had a sex addiction, you know, like Eastern European prostitutes. His marriage obviously was on the rocks, and he'd started an affair with his late brother's widow, his sister-in-law. And so the whole thing was just a nightmare. And this is a man who was getting tens of millions of dollars slopping into his bank accounts and the bank accounts of, you know, his partners, his uncle Jim Biden, who Joe's younger brother, who's I mean, he's been described to me as the brains of the operation, which doesn't say much, but he was also operating really as Hunter's sort of minder to just try and keep his nose clean, so to speak. But Hunter is actually, I mean, I've been told this by people who are involved, that don't underestimate him. He's highly intelligent.
Oh, yes.
I mean, even though he acts like a fool and his life is in disarray, as someone said to me, look at him now. He's got everything he's ever wanted. He wanted to be an artist. He wanted to be an author. He's now done both. I mean, his art is going for, you know, $500,000 a pop.
Isn't that crazy?
Not particularly because of its great quality. And he's also now the president's chief advisor. I mean, he's the closest and most important advisor to Joe Biden. And he is in and out of the White House, in and out of the sort of weekend White House in Delaware all the time. And we know from the laptop how much Joe and Hunter were intertwined in terms of, you know, knowing everything about each other's business, their finances being intertwined, you know, joint bank accounts, shared debit cards, Hunter, you know, paying for at least some of Joe's sort of household bills, maintenance on his Delaware mansion, AT&T bills.
That's a very important aspect of this book, because one of the things that the media failed to address or even really press Joe Biden on is, did you ever get any money from your son's business deals? You have found some evidence of credit card payments and repair payments and other things, plus the, you know, the spontaneous admissions, the family members that, you know, Joe gets half of everything. When you step back, what's the best evidence that Joe Biden profited from his son's overseas deals?
Well, look, there's not an enormous amount, but there's, so I think what we found is sort of the tip of the iceberg, and that is the, you know, emails to Hunter from Eric Schwerin, who was his sort of factotum at Rosemont Seneca. I mean, Eric Schwerin did everything for Hunter. You know, when Hunter was off on these crack benders, he would man the station. He would answer his emails. He would make sure he paid his bills. He would make sure his alimony was paid, et cetera, and that there was enough money in the bank. But he also seemed to be doing a lot of work for Joe Biden as well, in terms of, you know, Joe Biden's mortgage, talking about Joe Biden's future earnings potential. And there are emails where there are these overdue bills for Joe Biden's Delaware mansion, whether it's sort of fixing a retaining wall or painting a fence or fixing the shutters or replacing the air conditioning, you know, several thousand dollars for each bill from local Delaware contractors. And these bills, some of them were like months overdue. I mean, I think from what I hear, the Bidens weren't very good at paying their bills on time. And so you know, Eric Schwerin saying we need to pay these now. Will I pay them out of, and he puts in inverted commas, my bank account.
Right.
You know, why he was using inverted commas, you can only surmise. Other emails show there are various bills, JRB, which is Joseph Robinette Biden, which is Joe Biden, you know, like a monthly AT&T bill.
Yeah.
These were just part of what Hunter's enormous monthly expenses. I mean, absolutely mammoth. The amount of money that he spent was unbelievable. And he used to put a lot of his bills on American Express. He'd have $250,000 American Express bill with, you know, a mammoth interest rate. I've sort of itemized some of that. And the Bidens are great spenders. I mean, they dress.
They live a good life.
Yeah, champagne lifestyle.
Yeah, no, such a great important point. You know, you said something that really rung true to me, and I saw this all through the Burisma Ukraine reporting I did in 19 at the Hill. And then when the laptop came through and we validated, one of the things we did before we started working the laptop, we gave the signature document from when he leaves the laptop at the at the shop. And we had the FBI's top signature expert, a guy who worked for 40 years as the FBI's main signature guy. And he said, no doubt, he compared it to 20 different public documents of Hunter Biden. And he said, there's no doubt Hunter Biden signed that paper and left that laptop. Big moment, right? And now you realize everything is real in this laptop. But you see him, even in the midst of his drug addiction, he is very scheming. There's an anecdote that sits out of my mind. He gets invited to a state dinner in the new, excuse me one second, I got all tickled, all of a sudden came in. I apologize.
I'm taking the opportunity as well.
Yeah, go ahead. No, goodness, I just inhaled wrong, I think. All right, let me get back to this. He's invited to a state dinner because of his dad's role as vice president. He goes, he meets the new French ambassador to the United Nations. And like within a week, he's following up with that French ambassador. I got a problem. I need you to help me with something. This guy was scheming, and he was using every lever of access he had because his dad was vice president to advance some deal, whether it's China, the French, Ukraine, whatever his drug addiction was. He was a pretty solid thinker on how he could use his father's connections to make money and to advance the family business, as he called it. Do you have any doubt that he cashed in on his father's vice presidency? Any doubt at all?
Oh, no. I mean, look, I mean, it's not even an opinion. I mean,
right. It's
just there. The receipts are there. You've seen them if you've seen the laptop. The emails, quite shamelessly. I think probably the most shameless was Vadim Pozorovsky, who was the Burisma sort of 2IC to the owner.
Right.
And this is this, corrupt energy company. And, they'd obviously brought Hunter on board to try and stave off this international investigation into Slijevsky, who was part of the previous regime before the Maidan Revolution, who had basically ripped off the country and left them with, you know, nothing in the bank. And so Interpol and the FBI was involved, and also the British in trying to claw back that money, and Zlochevsky's accounts in London had been frozen. And so it's in this backdrop that Hunter Biden and Devin Archer are brought in, and Devin Archer, of course, having a relationship with John Kerry, and used to work for him. And so they were brought on board to try and stop the international authorities from investigating Burisma and Slijevsky. And I mean, ultimately, that was very successful. But there are a series of emails in which this Burisma executive, Vadim, is saying to Hunter, how are you going to use your influence to fight the Ukrainian government's corruption allegations against Burisma? And this is what we need you to do. And this is what we need your father to say. And this is what, you know, like, there's no pushback from them. There's no sort of embarrassment. There was only pushback at the very beginning when Burisma, for instance, when Devin Archer went and took the selfie in with Joe Biden at the White House, and it got put up on the Burisma website.
Right.
And that was immediately, I mean, there's an email there from the vice president's counsel, the lawyer, tear that down, bring that down. You've got to bring it down. I mean, Eric Schwerin is emailing around to Hunter and say, get that down. And so it was up long enough that even the Washington Post noticed it, and David Ignatius actually wrote uncharacteristically that this was not a good look for Joe Biden. And so, you know, there was shameless grifting going on here, and it was not really very well hidden. You know, the thing that's interesting about the Bidens is it wasn't a very sophisticated operation.
It wasn't at all. In fact, very sloppy if you're trying to keep it quiet.
Yeah, it was out there in plain view, but I think the brilliance of Joe Biden, I guess, is this shtick that he's done all his life, and he's leveraged the genuine tragedies that nobody could not feel sympathy for him about that happened early in his, just before he took the Senate, when his wife and baby daughter were killed. That was Hunter's mother. And then his two little boys, Hunter and Beau, were in hospital, and that famous photograph of him getting sworn in. I mean, the entire nation's heart just opened to him. And also a lot of the older senators, because he was so young, I mean, he was one of the youngest senators, just 30 when he came to Washington. And there he had these two little motherless boys left back at home in Delaware, and he continues on his glittering career. But there were a lot of senators there who took him under his wing, and I mean, notoriously, they were the Dixiecrats. You know, Joe Biden now claims to be, you know, Mr. Anti-Racism, but he hooked up with probably the most racist people in Congress.
He did.
You know,
those are his
Robert
running
Byrd.
Buddies.
Yeah. So, so he's sort of parlayed this sort of the grieving widower narrative. And then, of course, his son, Beau Biden, died much later of brain cancer, which was tragic. I mean, incredibly sad for Joe Biden, because that was his golden boy. That was his ticket to the dynasty, the Kennedy dynasty that he'd always angled towards. And so, you know, he has had a lot of tragedy in his life, but he's also just a consummate liar and teller of tall tales and plagiarist, and just a man who doesn't seem, never has seemed to be able to keep truth from fiction straight in his head. And so this narrative that he's spun of being the poorest man in Congress, you know, a humble working class kid from Scranton, you know, honest Joe, it's just so at odds with the facts as we see them. I mean, I guess it's obvious to everybody from his lifestyle and the way he comports himself, but also just from the receipts on the laptop and the lavish sort of, you know, the life of privilege that his family lives, and that counts, you know, his brothers and sister and nieces and nephews and cousins and, you know, children and their children. And, you know, it's this sort of, I describe it as a magic carpet ride, and it doesn't actually have to be just cash.
Nope.
You know,
it can be gifts in kind.
Yeah.
No, your book does such a good job of just showing how they live off their fame. And, you know, there was that moment in the ABC interview where he said, oh, I got a lot of things because of my name. Of course, he ain't kidding when you look at the laptop. I mean, it was just a constant shakedown. I want to go back to Eric Schwerin, because for me, as I went through the laptop and as I did some of my reporting, the period of December 2015, when Joe Biden goes to Ukraine and they're worried about the New York Times article and the whole Burisma thing blowing up, to the beginning of the spring of 2016, when Hunter Biden's primary business partner, Devin Archer, both at Burisma and at Rosemont, all of a sudden he's under FBI investigation, and Hunter Biden finds out, subpoenas are coming my way. My bank records are going to be looked at, and he and his lawyers start scrambling. And it's Eric Schwerin who says, hey, Hunter, you know that money you got from Burisma? You haven't paid taxes on it, and you owe a whole bunch of taxes. It's remarkable to see that moment in the middle of the Devin Archer investigation, where Hunter Biden realizes, I took all this money from Ukraine and they're telling me I didn't pay taxes on it. When you look back now, how almost mind-numbing is it that Hunter Biden wouldn't have paid taxes on something he was getting from Ukraine?
Well, I mean, it doesn't surprise me, really. I mean, you look at the chaos of his life. You know, he was just... you know, on drugs all the time. He was running away on benders. He wouldn't answer emails. He spent a lot of time at the Chateau Marmont, for instance, in Hollywood, just basically cooking and smoking crack and entertaining prostitutes. And so Eric Schwerin was really cleaning up all the messes. He was running the operation.
Right.
And I mean, It's interesting that there was that level of detail. I often wonder, because really Eric Schwerin was a great source of detail.
He was.
He was
very
meticulous. Very
meticulous.
And I wonder if there wasn't an element of sort of passive aggressive, I'm just going to record this. Because, of course, in the end, he got shafted as well.
Yeah.
He and Hunter had a terribly acrimonious ending to their relationship. But not so acrimonious that Eric Schwerin wasn't taken care of by Joe Biden. I mean, he was given his own grace and favor posting sort of an ambassadorial
commission,
you know, in which he liked very much, and in fact it was that posting that he was given that prompted one of Hunter's cousins, the daughter of his aunt, Joe's sister, to say, well, you know, is that our Eric? Well, why can't we get one of those? Can Mum get one of those? And so, of course, then a flurry of activity happened between Joe Biden, the vice president's office, and Hunter and Eric Schwerin, and they worked out for Aunt Val, two or three sinecures, one at the UN and a couple of University of Delaware, that would make her a tidy, you know, $50,000 here, $50,000 there. Income earner. And I mean, this was just the way they rolled. It was just like, oh yeah, we'll have one of those. It was just, you know, government jobs, you know, judge clerkships, university places, Ivy League places. And Joe Biden sort of controlled people around him by giving away these baubles of office. There's one email that Hunter talks to one of his friends about how his father, he's sort of resentful of his father in a lot of this, sort of controlled him because when Hunter had a Secret Service tale, that he said his father used to sort of suck up to these Secret Service guys by you know, putting their kids into military college or whatever they wanted, they needed, Joe would make sure it happened. And in return, they would look after and I presume turn a blind eye to some of Hunter's peccadilloes, but also make sure he stayed alive.
Well, from the look of the photos, they had to ignore an awful lot. Holy mackerel. I mean, you just look at some of the stuff and you go, wow, what a reckless life the son of a vice president was leading.
John, I wonder if you think, because it occurred to me that, I mean, even in the times when Hunter waived off his Secret Service protection, he must have had, the intelligence services must have been aware of what was going on. John Brennan, CIA,
right.
They must have known and must have been keeping an eye on him because he had nine lives. He was in lots of very dangerous situations.
He
seemed to always be plucked out and removed from situations of danger. Do you think there was something intervention going on there?
Well, listen, you would almost assume that whenever the son of a vice president or any member of the president's family is overseas, that they're all eyes are on, right? We know that from some prior testimonies of cases. We don't know what the CIA, DIA, and others were doing, but when you get to Ukraine, you know Russia's watching, right? So our intelligence service, if they're hearing that Hunter Biden is turning up the sand in Ukraine, so to speak, it both from a financial standpoint, maybe from a drug and sex standpoint, they're going to be watching for every potential opportunity for the Russians to exploit that and put the family over a barrel. We've not been able to get any records on that front. We've put a lot of FOIAs in. We're contemplating a lawsuit on that here at Just the News, but it's a missing layer of the history of the Biden family. It seems almost improbable that the FBI, the CIA, the DIA would not learn of things or learn of potential threats, because as reckless as he was, you know, the scenario that Senators Grassley and Johnson have laid out, that, you know, the family could have been over the barrel by all these relationships, you would have to assume the intelligence community was looking and policing for that and perhaps trying to thwart it if it was going to happen. But there's no body of record, nothing that we can find yet. And I think that's a place for all of us as journalists to go in the next year. I want to ask you about accountability.
Yeah. Sorry, can I just ask you one other question?
Please.
You say thwart, but I wonder if it wasn't so much thwarting, but that Hunter Biden was so close in the inner sanctum of Vladimir Putin with the oligarchs at Putin's right hand. He was so close inside the court of President Xi that I wonder if the intelligence services might have been using him for intelligence. I mean, maybe not without his knowledge.
Sure. Well, listen, they debrief a lot of Americans, too. You come back from China, then you come back from Ukraine and Russia. You sometimes get a visit. Hey, could you be helpful to us? You're an American. Could you be helpful to us? And we don't know those things, right? We have filed for a lot of things. We don't know. You know, one of the big mysteries for me is it looks like he cooperated with the Devin Archer case, and then he was conveniently cut out of the Devin Archer case, both as a witness and as a, you know, as a... We don't know what he told the FBI in his 302s. That's a missing thing that we all need to get. We assume he had to be interviewed. There's no way they could not have asked him about some of these things. And if you remember, when I made my biggest progress on this, it was the bank records that had been put into the record of the Devin Archer case that showed all that money, $3 million going to Devin Archer and $3 million plus going to Devin Archer and Hunter Biden from that Ukraine bank account. That was sitting in plain view out in the Archer case. That became the seminal moment to realize, wow, this was not some $20,000 a month job. This was a multi-million dollar deal that he got from them. We now know from my reporting that the FBI and Justice Department opened its investigation of Hunter Biden in December of 2018, it looks like, and it was already active. We know the laptop was turned over in December 2019. We know in 2016 and 17, Eric Schwerin repeatedly warned Hunter Biden, you've evaded or you haven't paid taxes on that Burisma money. You better pony up the money. We're now in almost about to enter into 2022. Do you have any confidence that Hunter Biden will face any form of accountability or justice for this financial racket he had?
Well, I don't know. I mean, look, in terms of the taxes, he did pay a lot of taxes.
Yep.
They did do a pretty good job.
After the fact of paying up.
Before Joe Biden came in, he paid fines as well.
Yep.
Now, there's also the FARA violation potential, and apparently part of the investigation is into that. And, you know, I honestly can't see how Hunter Biden wouldn't be in breach of that, allegedly, because he was acting, from what we can see, as an agent using his influence with people here in the government. So I don't know whether something will come of that. I think if you have the laptop, there's a lot of wrongdoing on there that you can find.
Oh, yes.
The Southern District has been... they would have the laptop, they would know about this because it was the Southern District that arrested Patrick Ho from CEFC, and that brought that whole house of cards tumbling down. And that was when the Trump administration came into office. That really just ruined the sort of China grift for the Bidens, because that was their biggest deal with CEFC. But CEFC was the capitalist arm of the Belt and Road Initiative. Like, it wasn't just an energy company. This was right at the top of President Xi's agenda. And CEFC, Hunter Biden and Jim Biden, intimately involved in this, was orchestrated that enormous deal, the biggest deal that China had ever done with Russia. And this was going to change the geopolitical energy power balance. And it was going to be very detrimental for the United States, because China had done a deal through CEFC to buy a big chunk of Rosneft, which is the Russian state-owned energy company.
Yeah.
And Russia had to do that because it had been forced into it after the sanctions over, the downing of MH17. So here we had Russia and China were going to band together, and this was bad for America. And yet the president's son, or the ex-vice president's son at that stage, and the ex-vice president were involved with this company that was going to be doing this deal. And it was only because Jeff Sessions came in with the Trump edict to stop all this China shenanigans that Patrick Ho was wiped out. And then Chairman Yi, who was the head of CEFC, just mysteriously disappears in China and never seen again.
It's amazing. Yep. Just goes into darkness. We never see him again. We only got a couple minutes left. I want to ask you this question. You get 5 minutes with Joe Biden. You get to ask him three questions. What are the three questions President Joe Biden should answer about this entire financial family racket?
Oh, you put me on the spot. Well, I would want him to admit that he met with all of Hunter's business partners. Right. Why did he lie about it? I would want him. You'd really put me on the spot. I know at the end I'm going to have like 12 questions that are really good that I want to know.
And then we'll bring you back on.
I mean, he also won't tell the truth. But then I'll also put him on the spot about firing Victor Shokin.
Yeah.
You know that Victor Shokin was arresting and was seizing
was
all
closing
all
in.
The
he was.
Stuff, and that he was going to subpoena your son. And then what else would I ask? Oh, about President Xi, about being taking all this money, for his family taking tens of millions of dollars from China, that's compromised him with President Xi. Yep. And is that the reason that he won't press President Xi on the origins of Wuhan in his four meetings that he's had with him this year? And yeah, that President Xi has shown utter contempt for him by, after the last two-hour virtual meeting, basically sending warplanes to buzz Taiwan a few hours later. So those off the top of my head, but if
those
you give me a
time. Those are three amazing questions. The president should answer those questions because he owes the American people the truth after denying it us all the way through the 2020 campaign. Miranda, I could talk to you all day. You are an amazing reporter. You and Peter Schweitzer and a handful of people who have dug in and told the real story about the Biden family. You are the reason why the American public is so lucky to know the facts today, even though they were deprived to us in 2020. We now know them because of your great book. And I want to thank you for the time today and all the great work you do every day.
Oh, thank you so much, John. And look, I say the same back to you, double.
Yeah, we got a lot of work ahead of us in 2022. A lot more truth to tell, I know.
For sure. And I can't wait to see more revelations that I know that you've got coming up. Very excited about those.
Same here. And folks, in the meantime, best Christmas gift you're going to give yourself and your friends, Laptop from Hell, a great read. Just scintillating reporting and writing. And you know what? It's all fact-based, unlike a lot of the stuff we get from the media today isn't true. Check it out today on Amazon, Target. You can get it everywhere. Laptop from Hell. Miranda, thank you so much for the time today.
Thank you, John. Great to talk to you.
You as well. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, a little bit of economics on why we have a supply chain shortage. We'll be right back after this commercial break. Hey, folks, can your IRA or 401k stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is right at our doorstep? By allocating a percentage of your retirement into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from a turbulent market and economic downturns. All you got to do is put your IRA back on the gold standard. With a multi-trillion dollar trade deficit and ongoing geopolitical instability, experts say now is the time to make the switch. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Protect your retirement today with one simple phone call and receive your free gold and silver guide from my good friends at Genesis Gold. To do that, call Genesis Gold Group today at 800-200-GOLD Gold. That's 800-200-GOLD. And find out how you can add precious metals to your IRA. One more time, let me give you the number. It's 800-200-4653. 800-200-4653, gold, or visit them at genesisgoldgroup.com. Genesis Gold, welcome to the John Solomon Just the News family. You know what, folks? Stress may be why you can't lose weight. If you've got moderate to high stress like I do, a doctor-formulated weight loss supplement called Lean could be your solution. Chronic stress wreaks havoc on blood sugar, which can cause your body to store excess fat. Stress can also slow your metabolism, which fuels weight gain. And you know all about stress eating and sugar cravings, right? Now the good news. The studied ingredients in Lean have been shown to help maintain healthy blood sugar levels, help optimize metabolism, and keep your appetite under control. Now, if your life is a bit stressful like mine and you want to lose weight, add Lean to your healthy diet and exercise lifestyle. Now get 15% off and free shipping at takelean.com. That's takelean.com and enter the promo code JustNews15. That's the promo code JustNews15 at takelean.com. One more time, takelean.com. Statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease, and it's not a substitute or alternative for care from a healthcare provider. All right, folks, welcome back from the commercial break. And as promised, a very special guest who's going to help us really understand how we got into this supply chain crisis. She's been a prolific writer of the Wall Street Journal, Politico, The Hill, where I used to work. She's currently a senior research fellow at the Mercatus Center and really an all-around tremendous thinker on globalization, the economy. Joining me right now is Christine McDaniel. Christine, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
It's an honor to have you on. And you caught my, as you often do when you write, you caught my eye the other day with this really great op-ed in the Detroit News, is where I saw it, where you really explain what's going on with the supply chain crisis. And also, you had a really funny line, but I think a lot of Americans are nodding when they hear it, which is, whatever you do, don't ask Washington for any more help. Describe a little bit what prompted you to write that and what you see as the real cause of this supply chain crisis we're in.
Well, one of the core drivers of the current supply chain crisis is the extraordinary demand for goods right now, right? That's the core of the problem. And, you know, even with normal levels of demand, you know, we would have had issues, you know, with just pandemic related things. But even before the pandemic, you know, remember, the economy was running really strongly. They were running it pretty hot. Remember, unemployment was, you know, less than 3%. And they were already running into a few issues on the supply chain there. But then so the economy's running gangbusters, COVID hits, boom, right? Demand falls off a cliff. Then people stay home for a while. They get their stimulus checks and whatnot. And demand for goods starts picking back up. And then it starts surging. And meanwhile, suppliers, companies, you know, they've scaled back inventories. They've scaled back a lot. They don't have their workers. So they're having trouble keeping up. But demand keeps going gangbusters. And so we have, you know, we have a surge in demand and we have supply problems. And that has caused, you know, these frictions, right? And so you can see, you know, people see at the ports, for instance, you know, slow deliveries, containers stacked super high, ships waiting outside Long Beach. But, you know, so those are the things that are receiving a lot of attention. Or, you know, you go shopping and some things that you might want are going to be delayed for a while. But the thing is, you know, there the core problem, though, is the surge in demand. And there's not a lot that Washington can do about that. And so when people ask Washington for help, you know, you get this, there can be a lot of unintended consequences. And so, you know, with Biden and his team trying to get the ports running 24 hours a day, well, okay, but, you know, but the ports, that's just one part of the entire supply chain. If the right. truckers aren't there, if the other people, you know, this is a very complex machine we have here. And really, it works well when you leave it to the people who run it. So, you know, they're well-intentioned, no doubt. But the unintended consequences are often worse than people might expect.
Yeah, and it's funny. The supply chain is a very sensitive ecosystem, and it can have many points of failure and stressors. And we always, in Washington particularly, where I am at all time, we're always looking for a single cause, single effect. But on the supply chain, there are so many points of potential pressure or points of failure that can happen. I think it's such a complicated picture. Let me walk you through some of the things that I thought you addressed so well in the article. One of the questions is, there was a period of time where we were paying people basically to stay home, that they could probably survive almost on what they were getting in terms of unemployment than if they had gone into the workforce. Is that one of the stressors that shrunk the workforce for a period of time and made the supply side fall behind?
Yes, it is one of them, right? People got for some people, it's very generous stimulus checks. And, you know, it didn't always make sense for them to go back to a job that they may have not been crazy about in the first place. Or maybe they had a loved one that got sick and they had to stay home and take care of them. Or, you know, they see, you know, wages going up, prices right. going up, wages going up. They think, well, maybe I can quit and look for a better job. So there are so many different reasons that people are dropping out or resigning from their jobs.
And there's not just one part, but I mean, that was, you know, the stimulus checks were you know, definitely a non-trivial part of that.
It paints into that supply chain, and it's just one of the chinks in the armor that seems to occur. Now, you have another, I found this really interesting. You talk about a shift from the American consumer away from buying services and more towards buying material goods. Part of that probably is you didn't want people in your house when COVID was going on or whatever, but describe that buying habit switch where people buy less services and more material goods.
Yeah, well, so I was talking to Phil Levy, the chief economist at Flexport, one of these freight forwarders, and I said, you know, explain this to me, Phil. You know, how do you see this? He said, well, think of it this way. Before the pandemic, you know, you had a gym membership. You know, the pandemic hit, you had to stay home, so you may have let your gym membership expire. You didn't renew it, but you still wanted to work out, so you bought a Peloton, or you bought some other home gym equipment, right? Or you bought a new pair of running shoes. So you know, that, and it's that times, you know, 200 million, right? So you have, so it's a switch from services to goods, and it's pervasive across sectors. It's a relative demand, relative demand increase for goods, or, you know, relative decrease demand for services. But, you know, this has put enormous pressure on the supply chain that, you know, for goods. And so, and it's not just, you know, the Peloton, it's, you know, people are sitting around, they realize they want a new furniture, you know, new piece of furniture, a new sofa, or that family, you know, outside Washington that I talk about, you know, they saw their old electric stove die out, you know, back in January. They had a little extra income. So they thought, well, let's splurge and, you know, get an oven range that we really want. And it took them 6 months to get that new appliance in their kitchen. And they were, you know, eating out of the microwave and takeout in the meantime.
Yeah, such an important one. One of my favorite ones, because I've seen this. I had a smart refrigerator that went kaput in the middle of the pandemic. And every two or three days, because I had to wait 4 months for the part, I'd have to unplug the freezer for an entire day and let it defrost and then plug it back in and it would work. And so literally every 3 days we're in this, I pull everything out, defrost it, I put everything back in. It was crazy. But semiconductors, they've been blamed from everything from automobile shortages to appliance shortages. You really, I thought you did the best. I never had heard it explained this way, but part of the problem is we get a lot of those parts from Vietnam, Malaysia, places like that, and they all went into the lockdown in Asia when workers couldn't go to the factory, right? That's another chink in the armor that we ended up enduring, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I like to talk to people in the auto industry just to kind of see what their challenges are. And they tell me that, you know, a lot of their suppliers did move out of China, you know, to other parts of Asia, partly in response to the tariffs, trying to escape the tariffs and to try to escape, you know, more pressures from the trade war with China. But then it turns out they got killed by that decision because, you know, Vietnam went into a 3-month lockdown, right? So it's not so easy, you know, just to move from one place to another. I was talking to this other auto manufacturer, and they were saying what they've done is over the years, especially after the Japan 2011 earthquake tsunami, and now it's really come in handy with the pandemic, they have just built this huge database of their supplier suppliers, and their suppliers supplier suppliers. And so they know how many parts it takes to make a car, but there's probably about 1,500 components that are just super critical. And so at any given moment, any given day, they know exactly, you know, how long it's going to take, where they're going to get them, what red flags, orange flags, you know, might be coming up on the horizon. But they've built that into their system because that's what works for them. They didn't need the government to tell them to do it, right? Lego, something that is a big popular product in my household, you know, you get on their website and even they have some things that are out of stock or
Sure.
But over the years, though, they have built out supply chains in North America, Asia, and Europe. And so when one goes down, you know, they've got backups, right? They do that because that's what makes the best sense for them. So companies are learning how to do this. They're doing it on their own. The ones that do it will be better off and they'll survive. The ones that don't do it won't survive. But, you know, that's the creative destruction and the competitive process, right?
Yeah.
So, and it's really best just to let companies do this on their own. They are already doing it. And Washington really does not need to get involved.
Yeah, that is a message that I hear a lot now from everyday Americans when I travel the country, which is, all right, we've had enough of Washington South. Let's try to do something here. And I want to pivot in a second and talk to some of the solutions that you mentioned here. But I want to run through two more examples that I thought were really great. And one of them, we had the experience this week, and we went 2 weeks earlier than we ever go to get our live Christmas tree. We started really the weekend of Thanksgiving. We wouldn't normally do that to mid-December. And the guy at the tree farm said, good thing you got here, because in 2 weeks we're not going to have anything. There are like three or four things that created the perfect storm for Christmas trees, right?
Yeah, this year was kind of interesting. Well, first of all, we have the real trees and fake trees, right? So so the good news is, for people who want real trees, if you're willing to, you know, take a drive and go do the work, you'll find there's plenty of real trees.
Yep.
cut and carry, right? We were just down in North Carolina, outside of Boone, and there were plenty of signs along the way there, cut and carry. So if you're willing to do that and take a drive, you'll be fine. But if you want to go to the place where they're already cut for you and all packaged up nicely, that's where people are starting to might run into problems pretty soon, because of the labor that it takes to cut those trees down,
right,
drive them to the big parking lots where people go to buy them. The labor that the truckers just aren't there. You know, they're busy. They're getting paid more to do other things right now. And then plus we had in some parts of the country, especially out in the West with the drought and then the fires, that wiped out a big chunk for certain tree farms. And then even go back further than that, and the Great Recession, 2008, a lot of those tree farmers just didn't plant as much. So, it takes these trees 5 to 10 years to grow.
Yeah.
And so, that supply, it's still
you can't
not
just throw a whole bunch of Miracle-Gro on a seedling and it suddenly becomes a Christmas tree. Yeah, one of the things I also heard at the Christmas tree farm, particularly on the East Coast, is there are these pests, ash borer and other beetles that have destroyed a lot of the, mid-size or growing pine trees. And so it's like a perfect thing: fires, drought, pestilence, trucking, lack of workers, and now all of a sudden we're short on Christmas trees just like that. You talked about another thing in here that I've heard a lot about in the last few days talking to CEOs, and that is some of the regulatory changes, and in case of California, a law, Assembly Bill 2, I believe it is, that change the stature of independent contractors, which in the trucking industry is a big deal, because most truckers aren't large company owners. They're independent contractors. Talk a little bit about how regulatory fiat has also put some stress on this supply chain.
Right. Well, so that's been interesting, because a lot of these trucking regulations are at the state level, it turns out.
Right.
And so there are some nationwide, industry-wide, but there's also state level and local level rules and regulations that restrict, how many truckers can be lined up, how long they can idle, how many hours of driving they can do a week. Those rules have been put in place and have stayed in place for quite a while, and they're there for a reason, good or bad. But Washington can't really just snap their fingers and change them. A lot of these are local municipal issues. So just in terms of the port, the areas around the physical area around the port, that area is regulated by the city.
Yep.
And the state. And so if those regulations say, you can only have X number of trucks at X number of, hours of the day, or, you can't idle for longer than X minutes or hours, there's nothing Washington can really do about that, right? So
yeah.
When the transportation secretary, Buttigieg, says he wants to be an honest broker, that's great. But you know, there's, you know, a lot of these rules and regulations are done at the more local municipal levels. And it's not as easy as, you know, Washington just coming in and saying, you know, everyone needs to work 24 hours a day. They can say that, but it's not going to happen because these rules are made at the local level.
Yeah, no, such a good point. All right, so now that we've painted such a bleak, dreary picture and everybody just lost all their holiday spirit, you have some really great solutions in this. And I love when someone writes an article, lays out, but then also says, here's some things. And, you know, Joe Biden had this conference with all the CEOs. It didn't really result in any action because as you point out, it's a very complicated set of situation. But if you're Mayor Gil Garcetti, if you're Governor Newsom in California and the ports, if you're the governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, you've got a big port down there, or you're the president, what are some things that political leaders could do that won't make the situation worse, but make it better?
Well, anything they can do to pull back, and I think the stimulus checks have stopped, but, right. You know, to make people hungry again, right? Make them want to go back to work. So many people staying at home from the stimulus checks, that has been one thing, and I think that's easing up now. But, Fed Chair Powell said the other day, I mean, in a lot of ways, the virus is controlling this economy. And every time we get a new wave, you know, then that's just more people that might need to stay home, or more people that might need to take care of loved ones, and there's not much you can do about that except, what they are kind of doing, and that's trying to get everyone vaccinated, everyone get the booster shot, minimize on that side. But the core problem is really highly elevated demand, right? And so that's where we really need to be looking for a solution. There are some things that they can do to operate the supply chain more efficiently, here and there. I mean, the Jones Act is a huge, huge one. Economists have been calling for the elimination of the Jones Act for years. That's a rule that says it has to be a U.S. carrier if it goes from one U.S. port to another U.S. port. That's very controversial and political. And the longshoremen have some very concentrated, big interest in keeping that alive. But repealing the Jones Act would be a huge thing. Making our ports more efficient, you know, that's like an infrastructure issue. That's right. Not going to happen overnight.
Nope.
So there's really no overnight solution to this. I mean, the question is when demand will back off. There's several things that could lead to that, right? It could be a pullback in incomes, or a pullback in the propensity to spend out of income,
right?
Or a switch from goods to services. But those are things that are really outside of the reach of Biden and his team, unfortunately. And, you know, we don't really see any signs of that happening at the moment. So, with the Fed noting, or they hinted that they're going to start to scale back the quantitative easing, that will be one thing. A good recession would definitely solve the problem.
Yeah.
But I don't think anybody wants
to. No one's
rooting
for that right now.
No one's rooting for that right now. So, it's really the private sector, they'll just keep doing what they can to become more resilient, to develop more layers of, plan A, plan B, plan Cs in their supply chains and their inventories. And, they just have to, everyone's going to have to struggle through this.
Yeah. So things like cutting tariffs, getting some of these regulatory issues maybe eased off could help a little bit. But really, there are bigger endemic issues that we have to look at, like the way our infrastructure is set up and some of these laws and states. One last thing, when you look at the number of people that aren't in the workforce today that were 2 years ago, and the gap between available jobs and the number of people looking for a job, that gap seems to be at one of its largest levels that I can remember in my adult lifetime. Are there any things beyond taking the incentives to stay home away that will do it? Will the fear of if coronavirus fades, does that help? What are some of the things that will get people back into the workforce?
Well, when they finish spending their stimulus checks, right? When rent becomes due, when we don't have these waivers anymore on you know, it's harsh. It sounds harsh to say, and economists have been accused of being, you know, the dismal scientists. But you know, if landlords cannot throw people out for not paying the rent,
right.
Well then, you know, I mean, you just
takes the pressure to go to work.
Out of it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it takes off the pressure to go to work. You know, when people have to pay bills, when it's, you know, or else get thrown out on the street. You know, that is what gets people back to work, right? So, this is just Econ 101. But if people don't have to pay the rent, if they keep getting, ability to delay paying other types of bills, then there's not a lot of incentive to go back to work.
No, it's right. I mean, sometimes it's the demand of your responsibilities that ultimately gets you to the workplace. And that I guess, has to work itself out. This was a fascinating conversation, Christine. I love the article you did. It made this so much more understandable because it is such a complex issue. It sounds easy when you first hear it, but it's not that easy. And I think the way you laid it out in that great article and again here today is really going to benefit our listeners and our readers here at Just the News.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that, and I hope you have a wonderful holiday.
You as well, and hopefully get you back on the show early next year and keep track of this pesky little economic problem we're all facing. So it'll be fun.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Christine. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to wrap things up. Hey, folks, as we approach another critical election, a wave of concern washes over America. Recent studies reveal that an astonishing 56% of our fellow citizens report feelings of anxiety or dread about the upcoming presidential election. That's why I stand with AMAC. AMAC is more than a senior discount organization. During these challenging times, they fight for common sense and hope that our nation returns to traditional American values. Visit amac.us/justnews today to seize an exclusive election year special, a 4-year AMAC membership for just $30. That's right. You heard me right. 4 years for $30. As an AMAC member, you're not only enjoying money-saving benefits, but also the AMAC magazine, free Social Security and Medicare advice, a trusted voice in Washington, and a community of like-minded patriots who love this great nation. Take advantage of this election year special, 4 years for $30, and be part of the solution over the next 4 years. By becoming an AMAC member, you're strengthening a movement dedicated to preserving the principles we hold dear in this great country. Join now at amac.us/justnews. That's amac.us/justnews.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
All right, folks, welcome back. It is time to wrap up the show. I'm so grateful for Miranda Devine and for Christine McDaniel. We took on two big issues that have huge import in America: Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, ethics in the Biden White House, and the incredible downstream pain now being caused by the supply chain shortages in America. I thought Christine did a great job laying out all the different elements of that perfect storm and what can be done about it short-term, long-term, to make sure we never repeat the pain we're now inflicting on working class and middle class and, you know, everyday Americans. And as far as Hunter Biden's laptop, listen, Miranda Devine's book is the ultimate statement why censorship in America doesn't work. The American people were deprived of the information about Hunter Biden's laptop because of bullies like Twitter, like Facebook, like the Democratic machinery that painted people like me who wrote legitimate fact-based stories about Hunter Biden. We were all smeared, and the American voter was kept in the dark. Large numbers of them were kept in the dark until after the election, until after Joe Biden was named president. That is not only a tragedy, it is not American. We don't silence voices that we disagree with. That's not what the power of a monopoly should do. And Twitter is a monopoly, right? These are big, giant institutions that can change people's understanding, can hide, omit, promote stories. There is, as I listened to that Miranda Devine interview and was part of it today, there's a lot of reason to be concerned as America. Listen, no matter what side of the political fence you're on, censorship is anti-American. It really is. And we just need to come to grips with that. We ought to just speak out against it. I don't want Republicans doing it to Democrats. I don't want Democrats doing it to Republicans. I don't want Martians doing it to Earthlings. It just doesn't make sense. We're better than that. We're smarter than that. I trust the American people to be smart enough to make up their own mind. And I think we all should too. All right. Big day today. Very appreciative for your time. Tomorrow, we're going to have Secretary Bernhardt here, the former Interior Secretary Donald Trump. We're going to talk energy policy and why all these Green New Deal / Democratic clean air, clean water bills are really not achieving clean air, clean water, but are achieving a cleaning out of your wallet, an unnecessary cleaning out of your wallet at a time when we already have other inflationary pressures. Important conversation that we can go into the weekend about. Educated. Looking forward to that. Hey, last night when I got back home, I worked late, and I got back home, and on the stoop of the front porch was something that put a smile on my face. You know what it was? It was my latest shipment, my monthly subscription from Wild Alaskan Company. I love fish. My whole family loves fish, whether it's halibut, cod, salmon. We have prawns. I got some new prawns in the package. I can't wait to cook them up this weekend. We're going to have a big fish dinner this weekend, pre-Christmas family dinner. We're going to bring some friends over, maybe even have some neighbors. In fact, I'm taking a pack of my salmon over. My neighbor next door, he's just an aficionado, and he loves it. He's always watching my porch waiting for the next Wild Alaskan Company shipment to come. I'm going to bring him some Soho salmon tonight. I want to mention this because you're a JustTheNews.com fan, because you're a John Solomon Reports listener. We have a special that we get from our great partnership with Wild Alaskan Company. I love them. Next month, I know the family's going to come back on. We're going to talk a little bit more. I just can't speak enough. They have the highest quality, freshest, sustainably sourced seafood I've ever had. When that box arrives, my whole family runs out onto the porch. They can't wait to see what's in it. We throw it in the freezer and we start planning. When are we going to cook that? When are we going to cook this? It is amazing. Well, here's what we got. Because you are a Just the News John Solomon Reports fan, you're going to get $15 off your first box of wild caught seafood when you visit wildalaskancompany.com/JustNews. Let me give you that again. wildalaskancompany.com/JustNews. $15 off your first box. That is an incredible deal. Now, let me tell you why I think this is so exciting. This is a great time of year. We're looking for quick meals when we're busy because we're out holiday shopping. It is so easy to jump into the freezer, rip open one of those great salmons, and throw it on the grill. And in a few minutes, the cod, the salmon, whatever you picked out is the perfect portion, by the way. They make the portions just right. You're eating dinner quickly, and it feels like you went to a five-star seafood restaurant. That's how it feels like for me. The great folks at Wild Alaskan Company, they help make what we do here at Just the News possible, to make the John Solomon Reports podcast. We can do these great interviews like we did with Miranda Devine. They make it possible by sponsoring and supporting us. And every time you support and buy from them, you're supporting our journalism mission here. So do me a favor today. Maybe you want to send a non-traditional Christmas gift to one of your loved ones or your friends. Maybe you just want to spoil yourself during the holiday. Say, listen, there's going to be a night. I'm going to get home. I'm going to be whooped from the holiday shopping, the day at work. I don't want to think, but I want a gourmet meal. I'm going to pull it out of the freezer and do my Wild Alaskan Company subscription. Do it. We do it at the Solomon family. We love it. We can't wait for the boxes to show up on our doorstep. Even my neighbors can't wait now. They're all in on this. They're all, when they come over, hey, what do you got? Is there anything I can grab? You ought to do this. Become the hero of your neighborhood. Become the chef connoisseur of fish food in your family. How do you do that? You go to wildalaskancompany.com/justnews right now. Get $15 off your monthly subscription for the first box of seafood. Once you start buying and you taste that impeccable flavor, you're not going to be able to stop. It is part of our routine now. And I can't tell you how much better the seafood is that we get from Wild Alaskan versus what we might get over the counter at the local grocery store. It is fresh. It is sealed. The texture is incredible. It is impeccable flavor. Do yourself a favor and spoil yourself or one of your loved ones this holiday season. One more time, wildalaskancompany.com/justnews. Get that great discount, $15 off the first box. All right, that wraps it up. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, may God bless you and may God bless this extraordinary country of the United States, as he always has. You've been listening to John Solomon Reports, a podcast from Just the News. Hey, folks, can your IRA or 401k stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is right at our doorstep? By allocating a percentage of your retirement into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from a turbulent market and economic downturns. All you got to do is put your IRA back on the gold standard. With a multi-trillion dollar trade deficit and ongoing geopolitical instability, experts say now is the time to make the switch. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Protect your retirement today with one simple phone call and receive your free gold and silver guide from my good friends at Genesis Gold. To do that, call Genesis Gold Group today at 800-200-GOLD. That's 800-200-GOLD. And find out how you can add precious metals to your IRA. One more time, let me give you the number. It's 800-200-4653. 800-200-4653 or gold, or visit them at genesisgoldgroup.com. Genesis Gold, welcome to the John Solomon Just the News family. Folks, everyone knows the next medical crisis is just around the corner. Whether it comes in the form of a pandemic or something much more mundane like a tick bite, you and your family need to be prepared. That's what we learned from this last pandemic, right? That's where the wellness company comes in. You know the wellness company. We have their great doctors like Dr. Peter McCullough on all the time on our shows. The wellness company and their doctors are medical professionals that you can trust. And the new medical emergency kits are the gold standard when it comes to keeping you safe and healthy. And most importantly, prepared. Be ready for anything. This medical emergency kit contains an assortment of life-saving medications, including ivermectin and Z-Pak. The medical emergency kit provides a guidebook to aid in the safe use of all of these life-saving medications, so you know what you're doing. From anthrax to tick bites to COVID and even the bioweapon like the plague, the wellness company's medical emergency kit is exactly what you need to have on hand to be prepared. Rest assured knowing that you have emergency antibiotics, antivirals, and antiparasitics on hand to keep you and your family safe from whatever the globalists throw your way. Go to www.twchealth/justnews today in order. That's twc.health/justnews and use the promo code justnews to save 10%.